Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you are likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self. Hi, I'm Lola Singer, and I am with my other two fellow travelers. This is
Pamela, hello.
And I am Emeril.
And we're just three friends who had good conversations about our ups and downs on the spiritual journey, and we wanted to share what we learned from you, from each other, but what we wanted to share with you, some of the things we wished we'd known early on the spiritual path. So stay with us, the people who've been on the spiritual path a long time. This one is geared for people who are pretty new. So just don't tune us out though. We'll probably have some salient stuff for you too. Because one of the things I didn't know about, because I came from this, like, you know how some people, if you go to their websites and they're spiritual people, they're like, I was born with the gifts. I was always speaking to the fairies, or I remember being a priestess, or this from birth. Well, you know, I probably did remember something from birth, but it was trained right out of me. So I fell into the 3D world and, you know, pleasing my teachers, pleasing my family, you know, so... if I did talk to fairies, I've certainly forgotten about it. Yeah. So I had to start from scratch as an adult. I kind of reopened my doors of perception about 10, 11, well, I guess it's more like 13, 14 years ago now. But one of the things I didn't know about, because I was new to everything, was chakras. Did you guys know about chakras?
I didn't know. I remember for the first time I heard it, and then someone close to me started sharing all this information, and I was like, I felt kind of, you've been holding out on me. Like, this, we would normally have these kind of conversations. So she had a lot more information on it than I did, and I went, huh, well, there's this whole area I was unbeknownst to me.
I think even when you're first starting out and you hear the word chakras and you're like interested, so you start looking up, there's so much information. In what we're just trying to do is break it up into the simplest form so that you guys can tune more into and then kind of start. Obviously, this doesn't won't stop you from doing your own research, of course, and we want you to. But this is a good episode to get you started on just different the different chakra points, what they're each pretty much they represent, and yeah, just having a good time with this episode.
So what are they?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm putting you on the spot.
All right. So our first chakra point is the color of red.
Well, we didn't really say what they are. They're energy centers.
Yes, they're energy centers. Okay, let's first
explain. The energy spins.
Yes, the energy spins. And they're located in different parts of our body, going from pretty much the end of our spinal, well, I guess.
Well, okay. Basically from your feet to your head.
Yes. Exactly. And now keep in mind, we are not going to claim that there's only seven chakra points, because there's many more. But these seven chakra points are it's the starting point, and then you can venture to other ones.
So if you were to Google the word chakra for the new people, C-H-A, K-R-A. Mm-hmm. And yes, I know some people will say that's not how you pronounce it. It's chakra.
Right.
I think that is the proper way to say it. But, you know, here in the United States, I'll just go with what you normally hear, which is chakra. Chakras, you probably, if you Google it, you're going to see a diagram of the human body with colors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom, you'll see red. And at the top, it'll be blue. And it kind of goes through the colors of the rainbow spectrum. Yeah. Those are what we're going to talk about right now. The seven basic chakra points that you're probably going to see in almost every diagram. Mm-hmm. But we do have chakra points throughout our body, even in our feet and in our hands.
Yes.
But since this is for people who are just starting out, let's start from the basics and build. So now you can hit it, Emeril.
Okay. So we're going to start with our first chakra, which is at your lower body, like kind of genital area / end of your back, and it's called your root chakra. Your root chakra is responsible for your survival instinct, security, and grounding. Next, we have our second chakra, which is orange, and it's called the sacral chakra. And that one's located around your stomach area. And it takes care of our emotions, our sexuality, and intimacy. Then we have our third chakra, which is about a golden color. And that one's located in between the upper part of your stomach and before your heart space. And this is the solar plex or navel chakra. And it's responsible for your energy, vitality, desire, and power. Then we have our fourth chakra, which is our heart space, which is responsible for love, hope, and compassion. That one's where our heart is, in the center part. Then we have our...
What color was that one?
That one's green.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot to say the color.
That's okay.
Thanks, good catch. Our fifth chakra is blue, and that's our throat chakra. And it's responsible... It's around our throat and our mouth area. It's where it's located. And it's responsible for communication, creativity, and healing. Our sixth chakra, it's our third eye, which is more of a... what would you say, like bluish purple?
Well, they call it indigo, yep. So it's like a navy blue color.
Yeah. Yep. And it's responsible for your clairvoyance, intuition, and psychic senses. And it's located in between your eyebrows and a little bit higher.
If you see someone who's mm-hmm. Hindu wearing a bindi, yes. It's right there where they put the bindi.
Exactly. And then your last of the seventh is the crown chakra, which is in indigo color.
No.
Well, more like purple, I should say.
It's like a violet.
They call it violet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then your crown is located on the top part of your head. And this chakra is responsible for cosmic consciousness, understanding, and enlightenment.
Wow. And... You know, they have I love the statements with them. So the root is, you know, I am, sacral is I feel, solar is I do, heart is I love, throat is I speak, third eye is I see, and then top of your head is I know.
Yep.
And those are so, all of them, each one of them is so powerful. Like, if one of them is out, your whole system, right?
Okay, I want to talk about that. Because when I was new, I tell you, I was green. I was new to all this. I had a reading with a channeler, and I asked about my chakras, and he said that one of them was, or two of them were blocked. And it scared the bejesus out of me, because I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, it did?
Yes. I thought, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something terribly wrong.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like our moods. We have ups and downs, and our chakras certain chakras can get a little weakened.
Mm-hmm. Bogged down.
Yeah, depending on what's going on in our environment and our inner world and our emotions and things like that. So it's not necessarily that you're doing anything wrong. It's not that you're harming your body.
Yeah.
It's just that you're not allowing as much energy to flow through the chakra as would be optimal, but you can fix it, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
So you can always rebalance and reset. And one of the things, like when I'm doing healings or readings for people, I will pick up, because I feel them, I will feel where, if there's energy I'm feeling, like let's say it's the throat chakra feels scratchy.
Yeah.
I will say to them, oh my gosh, there's something you've been wanting to say and you just haven't been in a position to say it, have you? And they're like, yes, because I can feel it in their bodies that their throat area feels scratchy. Sometimes I feel their solar plexus, and that's where we can feel, we can store fear there, but we also store a lot of courage mm-hmm. there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes yep. it'll feel very tight but strong, like, oh my goodness, this person feels, you know, really powerful. And other times I can feel the fear there.
Right.
It'll feel yep. tight. So there's clues that you can pick up on intuitively, or if you kind of are like me and can feel other people's bodies and systems, or even your own, you can tell when you're feel depleted in an area, mm-hmm. you can use that to go, okay, how can I tune it up again? Basically, right. what you want to do is you want to get them all functioning and spinning optimally together.
Yes.
And she just, Lola just brought up a good point. So also along with our chakra points, so each chakra point deals with certain things, and there's also blocked by certain things. So I want to go over that really quick. So your first chakra, which is your root chakra, is deals with your survival, and it's blocked by fear. So again, those are different emotions. One is standing when it's good and it's flowing correctly. You're going to have good survival ethics, or you should feel more
secure, I think.
Secure, yeah.
One of that chakra, I think one of the areas where you can feel depleted is when you're dealing with money wounds.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
For me, it showed up as safety. So that was yep. one that, you know, you talked about security. Security is also safety. So, or likened to that. So, you know, mm-hmm. if you've been in situations where you haven't felt safe, that's certainly an area where you're likely have been affected.
So then also when we're talking about if it's blocked by fear, though, so how many of us or how many of you, it's sometimes we get stuck with the emotion of fear. So if you get stuck with that emotion, that's more than likely means that your root chakra is blocked. Not that that's, I mean, it's a thing that we just work on it and we make it come back to flow.
Yeah, it's not insurmountable, but it's good to have the awareness so you can work on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of a map out. This is, again, we're just kind of throwing out basics so that way you understand. So your second chakra point, which is your sacral, deals with pleasure. One of the things that it deals with is pleasure. And it's blocked by guilt. And
well, it's also a creative center. Yeah. So when people are denying their creativity, that can get blocked. Like someone who, for example, if you have artistic tendencies, but you're thinking that's not practical and you ignore the fact that you love creating art, even if it was a side project, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not doing it, then that chakra can get blocked too.
Yeah.
It's also a sexual chakra.
Yes.
So that's where a lot of sexual tensions and fears get held too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That goes with creativity though.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then our third chakra, which is our solar plex, deals with willpower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's blocked by shame.
Ooh. Oh, that is the weapon of choice that our parents use growing up, isn't it?
Oh.
We all know shame.
Yeah. I didn't know that particular one mm-hmm. was the main block point for that.
Yep.
So when you feel like you don't have the life force energy or you're just like, the will and the power to stand in your own sovereignty and your own gifts and own what you have. Yeah, maybe that's shame. Mm-hmm. Running around in the background going, huh, we're not going to let you quite do that just yet till you look at us and face me.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember when it didn't work before?
Right.
That's going to happen again, right?
Says, and then fear comes in. Says, yeah, this is all the things that can go wrong.
Yeah. And then our fourth chakra point is our heart chakra, and that deals with love. And it's blocked by grief.
Grief. Oh, of course.
Well, yeah, but you got to honor grief.
Yes.
You just want to not allow it to cycle through. That's part of the love, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to stay in grief.
And to live in grief is what
would really
you don't
block
want to
it.
Do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that's the chakra that's right in the middle of all the other ones.
Yes.
So that's where balance and harmony is in your body, in the mm-hmm. heart chakra.
Yeah. And that's kind of the midpoint, too, between your earth chakras, which means the ones that affect you more on your earth experience, and then the higher chakras, which is more your divine connection.
Mm-hmm. And the heart emanates more energy than the brain.
Exactly.
Way, way, way more energy than the brain.
And also your heart is where your truth is and where you find your true answers that you seek about things too, like running it through your heart, I should say. All right. And then the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra, deals with truth, and it's blocked by lies.
Ooh, okay, that makes sense.
That one's mm-hmm. kind of, yep.
Or not expressing the truth.
Exactly.
Mm, yeah.
It's really self-expression. When you're self-expressing, you're going to have that throat chakra nice and clear. whenever you block yourself by not speaking your truth, not necessarily have to be lies, but when you're not speaking what you're truly feeling, that chakra point will get blocked.
And I'm also hearing the lies that you've told yourself.
Exactly.
It's not like, oh, that person lied to me. It's the lies that you have believed about yourself too that are not true.
I also want to with this one is really interesting because what we speak, it's almost like that's what we're declaring. That's what we're bringing. So it's really powerful too, because your truth does have a lot of weight. Once you understand that fully, I am in co-creating with the universe, then you understand that whatever you speak out, that's what your truth is. So a lot of times, for example, when I started, I would say oh my gosh, I'm so dumb. I can't believe I didn't understand this. And so much negativity. And then you understand wait, I don't even need bullies. And then that's not necessarily a good thing. But we learn, of course, we learn how to treat ourselves better. But that's what the reason why I'm bringing that up is an awareness. What comes out of your mouth so that you understand that certain things aren't really the greatest for you to be expressing out.
Mm-hmm.
Our sixth chakra is our third eye. This deals with insight and it's blocked by illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has so many things. Well, when I first started, and this is why this, I think it's important for us to clear it out, especially Lola, I'm going to get your intake on this. But okay, so the first thing we hear is manifesting. And in order to manifest, your third eye needs to be open. And everyone affiliates things with the third eye as far as visualizing what you want and bring it in. Kind of like, remember when that movie was so big, that movie that was all about thinking about what you want and bringing it in?
Oh, The Secret?
Yes. And now we know it's all about balance. Obviously, you have to have balance within all your chakras in order to allow things to flow into your living experience. But I remember personally, that third eye really caught on me because first, they're like, if your third eye is not open, you can't really see and all this stuff. It was just, now I know that it was just, I guess, in a way, it was a trick to get started with thinking that you're doing the wrong things or you're not. Again, we put ourselves on these things where we're feeling not good enough because something isn't open about us. But in reality, it's just part of our journey to go through it and learn it. Nobody is born knowing everything.
Yeah, and as soon as you think, oh, there's only one way to do this.
Yeah, there's many ways, and that's why you have more than one chakra to, you don't have to focus on any one at a time, it's got to be my third eye while you're ignoring all the other ones.
Exactly.
An interesting thing, when I first started, you guys don't know this.
Dun, dun, dun.
When I first started waking up, I would do meditations when I got home from work and my hands would move. And one of the things is I kept tapping my finger on my third eye. And I wasn't really in control of it. It just kept going, 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 going. So something in my soul was trying to get that thing open. I would tap and tap and tap for hours to the point where I had, I would bleed.
Oh,
jeez.
So
you're beating your own self up.
Literally.
But I guess I'm bringing that up because it needed to be opened.
Yeah.
So my soul was working on that sometimes when I was not every time I meditated, but once it started, it was kept hitting my third eye. And I actually had to go get a haircut and I have bangs. And I went to my, hairstylist and said, don't be surprised. I'm going to show you something. And I had, this big red mark on my face, because skin had come off from tapping so hard. And, and I had to tell him I was going through the spiritual awakening. This is what has happened. Don't worry about it. But when you pull up my bangs, you're going to see it.
Oh,
it
my goodness.
So I guess there's a point where you just have to trust your soul's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So your soul might guide you to work on a different area. Oh, the other thing it would do, sometimes I would grab my tummy and shake it.
Oh.
So that was the solar plexus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so that's just how my guides operated through me. But I do think that somehow intuitively know at any given time which chakra to attend to if you're kind of open to it.
Yep.
And I guess I was pretty stubborn about opening that third eye.
And then, so one of the things I want to mention, and there's the opposite end, which is where I'm at. A lot of the times, and Lola would vouch for this because she'll be like, you know, I'm feeling your third eye is like completely blasted open.
Yeah.
And it's like a camera. You do have the option of bringing it in and closing it in because
it's like an aperture. Just
in the symptoms that I can tell you when your third eye is too open is it creates a heartbeat. Literally.
It throbs.
It feels like a heartbeat. It like throbs. And you're like, what is this? Because it's all in my, and nobody ever told me, right? All of a sudden, Lola just sits in the car and says, yeah, your third eye is too open and just close it down. Just focus on it. Think of it like a camera lens and just bring it down. And then after that, and it never left me. So then after that, I was able to actually assist it right away. But before that, I had no clue.
Mm-hmm. You had it turned up to 11. You could turn it down to 9.
Yep. And last but not least, our 7th chakra point is the crown chakra. And that deals with cosmic energy. It's blocked by ego attachment.
Oh, of course.
That's just a tricky one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're bringing up those blocks so you're aware of them. But the nice thing is there are ways to work with that energy so you can get them all flowing. So I think the most basic one of the first ones you learn about is that you picture the chakra as a spinning flower.
Mm-hmm.
In Eastern culture, they usually recommend thinking of it as a lotus, but you could do any flower.
Yeah.
And you imagine it's spinning. So let's pretend it's your heart chakra. So you feel into your heart, and then you want to spin it clockwise. And you can even bring in the color of green, like a spring meadow green,
mm-hmm.
and have that flow. And you're probably going to feel a little bit of a magnetic tug while you do that.
Yeah.
Now, the thing to remember that we always forget is there's a chakras go all through the body, so feel it on the back too.
Mm. Yeah.
Where your heart is. Imagine there's a green, meadow green flower, spring green flower. Rotate it clockwise. Feel it. Now feel it front to back. And that way you're probably going to, you just shifted your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that with any of the chakras. So let's say you are feeling fear. So you're going to want to feel into the root chakra, which is pretty much, it's down in the nether regions. Let's just say that. So you want to spin the front, like, you know, for a woman, it probably, I think the sacral chakra is about where the ovaries are. So just a little under your ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
If you, and for a man, if you could kind of picture where that would be on your body and just spin down there clockwise, back picture red flower. Oh, let it open up, let it spin, and then do it on the backside too, on your sacroiliac. And so when you're feeling fear, you can try to calm that chakra. Get it spinning optimally instead of being on overdrive by focusing on that. So that's probably the first trick I think most people learn about. It's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
One. I think we got some other tricks up our sleeve though, don't we?
Yeah.
To share.
Well, and another thing I want to share just this experience, because I think that it's a little bit, just clarifying, I guess, information is that a lot of the times when we first start, sometimes I even heard this from somebody that said, oh yeah, you can just work on your higher chakras and eventually your lower chakras will catch on. That's not true.
Yeah.
I can definitely
that's
say
bogus,
that.
Bogus, bogus, bogus. Yeah.
So your higher chakras do have they are your connection chakras to higher realms. However, think about this. And I mean, we're not going to go full into detail, but the whole term of as above, so below, we need to make sure we have both connections. So your lower chakras are actually your experiences and what you experience through Earth, like being a human. So it's so important for you to work on those because that's what's going to give you peace, like going through your life experiences. Before you start really working on those, there's going to be a lot of chaos that's going to happen if you really don't work on those lower chakras because they're just... And the thing is, when things surface up from those chakras, it's not like it's surfacing up to punish you. It's surfacing up because it wants to heal. It's ready to be healed.
It's all about balance.
Yeah. And it took me a while because I don't think that no one can say that the spiritual journey is all love and light. And so those chakras really get you to address pretty much everything we haven't addressed growing up. But that also makes you be more balanced. Like Lola said, like that's what we're going for. That's what we're striving for. And if you're going to work in certain chakras, start with your lower. Mm-hmm. Always start with lower, work your way up. And this is not that, oh, this is the only way. No, this is just from my experiences. That's what really works because your lower chakras are your earth connection. And mm-hmm. once you have a good balanced earth connection, then everything flows so much easier.
If you think about the human body being a radio tower, transmitting frequency and energy mm-hmm. from the, just like a radio tower.
Right.
You need the foundation, right? It kind of forms a pyramid, mm-hmm. right? So those would be your feet and your legs.
Yep.
Don't you want to have a good foundation?
Stability.
Yeah. So you want to work on the root and the sacral and the solar plexus. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you ignore the others, but I think what he's saying is people on a spiritual journey tend to discount the root yep. and the sacral and the solar plexus, but that is the foundation.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that another point could be is if you're having trouble connecting to your body and you're not sure where to start, one of the ways that you can tune into this is to see, well, where do I struggle the most? You know, do I struggle with finances and balancing and having limiting beliefs about my worth and value? Do I go into places and, you know, scared looking around and where are the exits and locking the car and do you carry a lot of fear? Where is it that you struggle? You know, a lot of people, it seems that sometimes we're seeing out there a lot of ego going on. So, you know, really believing maybe some false identities or attachment to certain aspects about yourself. A way to look in is either looking through where you've been traumatized and also where do you tend to get tripped up? What's your Achilles heel? And see where we were talking about those motions of blocks. Do any of those things apply?
I think that's good advice, but sometimes it's not that extreme. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have a slight shift off balance. So I'm checking in with your chakras regularly. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend, you know, feeling into each one once you see the picture and the diagram. You know, start with the root red, feel into that. It's that, you know, mm-hmm. spin those flowers on each one. And mm-hmm. so it doesn't have, yes, trauma, but also sometimes it's the slightest little thing that needs a little finessing.
The reason why I bring that up is because I couldn't have done that in the beginning. When I first started, it took a lot of energy work on my body to clear my system out. Mm-hmm. So where I think of in the body of the spinal column, which sends messages. When the chakra system is blocked, it's basically like a clog in your dream. I see it that way. Trauma upon trauma basically builds to where no energy is flowing. So when I first had some people working on my body, I had an energy work, I couldn't feel anything. And she's like sending Reiki. She's like, my hands are a fire. You can't feel that? I'm like, no. I had been you know, under trauma so consistently for such a long period of time that I couldn't feel any energy work on me. So it took quite a few things for me to even feel my body or feel energy. So I'm just speaking to those people who, if you said, oh, well, feel into your body, I wouldn't even know what you were talking about. It would almost seem like a foreign language. But intellectually, I could be like, yeah, this is an area where I really get trapped.
I see what you're saying.
Or I see emotion. Like, I know I struggle with this emotion. I feel shame.
So you're cognitively saying that. Yeah. So it must be this chakra.
Yeah. That's another way is if you struggle and feeling energy or you say, oh, look into that. I think that's for people who might have that a little bit easier to do. And certainly at the beginning, I couldn't have gotten these concepts actually at the beginning. It would have felt probably like a foreign language to me. But the words of, well, it could be blocked by this. I'd be like, okay, I know I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it could be another touch point. So.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I think both of us have valid points.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, because there's going to be people that are going to...
They're just slightly off balance. And right. other people who are needing a little more of a tune-up than others. It's yeah. like they have the 1938 Ford pickup that needs a tune-up. We don't even have the parts for that.
Right. And what's so nice is the more energy work you do on yourself and the more you're clear, then now I can say, oh, okay, I consistently can just tune myself up and it's easy and I can do that myself, where I used to go to outside people for that help.
So what are some ideas for tune-ups in addition to the spinning flowers?
One is color, so you can really tap into the color of that chakra point, you know, feeling the energy of it. Visualize, so I'm a big visual person, so I will think of imagery, you know, images of, you know, orange and the sunset and different things like that. I love color, so that is one that's a good trick for me. I also visualize, so I just see with myself with a finger, if there was a, I don't know, it's like a, almost like a clock that has a knob on it, and I'm winding up the clock, and I just see myself spinning with my finger, twirling in a circular motion, that I'm winding up that area that I feel like might have slowed down. And then when I work on clients, that's how I also do it, is just moving energy that way. And then you're like, oh, are you feeling better? Well, yeah, I'm feeling back centered. One thing that kind of, maybe you can answer this, Lola, is I would go in and get energy work. I get, you know, rebalanced, feeling good. And then I go back to an environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, dang it. Mm-hmm. I'm out of alignment now. I can mm-hmm. feel it off. I'm not mm-hmm. right. And it could happen that quick. And I'm like, I can't keep going into these people left and right. As soon as, you know, I go into work or home and I would feel sick again, or, you know, my energy be off. And I just like, how am I going to do this? I need to start figuring out some ways that I can do this myself. So can you speak to that a little bit? Is, you know, you're getting yourself tuned up, you either find someone that you work with or you start doing it yourself.
Yeah, but in those situations you have to rely on yourself,
right?
So nobody's going to do it for you in those kind of environments, right?
And also that's just another thing that I think that what Lola's trying to relate and say is that as you start working on yourself, you're not going to align to certain places anymore and certain people. And you can only do it for so long of healing yourself and clearing yourself before you're like, all right, I'm getting drained. What is really going on? And you're going to find it that there's going to be people that don't really have the best intentions for you and aren't really there per se to be there for the whole rest of your journey. And it's hard, but letting go of those environments and of those places, environments, when I'm saying environments, sometimes it can be a job that you're no longer aligning with. It could be a place where you're working where you once thought it was the greatest place to work. Now, all of a sudden, it feels like jail. And trust me, we've all been there, done that. And it's not about like, it's not about self-sacrifice, but some people really do that. It's more about seeking where you're aligned to, because your own chakra, everything always connects and everything always balances. So as you start choosing yourself, start choosing healthier patterns for you to follow, you're going to find that there's going to be a connection. That connection is going to be, your chakras is going to be more balanced. You're not going to have as much issues as you were having before with not fitting into places. It all just kind of comes in. Another thing about chakra points that we were talking about, and I think Lola mentioned, was, or it could have been another episode, but it does relate to the chakra points, is sometimes people come into you or your space and you feel on a chakra point like this person is really, like this part is really affecting them. Like for me, it's a throat chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever someone that has a very blocked throat chakra comes in and gets into my space, all of a sudden I feel like something stuck on my throat and I'm trying to clear it and I can't clear it because it's not a physical thing. It's an energetic, empathic thing you're feeling for that person. And yes, you could, if they're open to, you could mention something to them, but at the same time, we're all working on ourselves. And sometimes just when you're around people that can kind of feel those points, you really feel them. So there's some, it's interesting, grief has, like, I have felt it on my heart. Like, whenever I am around people that are really going through deep grieving, like, I can feel it in my heart space too. So it's just different points too, mm-hmm. where you can feel things on your chakra points that is about others.
You also may have a part in your body that's a little more susceptible, that might not be as strong as others. So for example, one of my daughters, upon waking every morning, I would hear her coughing, like to the point of almost throwing up and gagging. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, what's going on there? At the time, I just thought, oh, this is just her process. This is what we do every morning. But then later on, as I got to be more aware of energy and different things, I was like, oh, this totally aligns. Because when you're a person that has a hard time speaking your truth and you're holding things in all day long, to be polite, to be whatever, it can have effect. So if you do, you know, struggle with certain things, you know, things with your eyes, ears, look at where sometimes, you know, it'll show up as physical symptoms in the body to say, hey, look at me here. I need attention.
Yeah. Well, that's when you scream into a pillow. Or my favorite thing is have people say their favorite swear word 3 times. Uh-oh. Just to get it out.
Oh, that's a great
one. Yeah. But I think I want to backtrack to what you're saying when, you know, you're feeling all primed up and then you walk into another environment and you realize, oh, the bliss is gone.
Yes.
But that's not their responsibility to fix it. That's what I was about to say. It's your responsibility. So one of the things that I do, you just want to get all the chakras moving, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you don't have time to try to analyze which area feels blocked. You just want to get them all moving. So if you look at a picture of the chakras, you're going to see red to orange to yellow to green to light blue to dark blue to violet, right? Mm-hmm. So one thing I've done, and this might be a little advanced for people, but just think of it as a zipper, right? So you're going to zip up the zipper, okay? It's down at the bottom with the red, okay? And as you're zipping it up, you breathe, and you look at each color on the diagram as you zip it up, and then when you get to the top, that's where the top of your breath is. And then you breathe out the junk that needs to be released in general, and then you imagine you're pulling the zipper down, but then you're going to really concentrate on the colors from red to orange to yellow to green to light blue to dark blue to the violet again. Breathe in. Imagine that zipper is on your body while you're looking at it, and then release. And that's going to get all of the chakras working optimally together.
That's a good trick.
I know.
I like that. The zipper technique.
Zipper technique. The thing is, when people aren't used to doing breath work, they could feel like they don't have enough breath to get all the way to the top. Mm. But it's just going to take some practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other suggestions on, you know, when you're going to a place that, or just going out there and, oh, you're, like you said, your bliss is gone, you know, your joy, whatever. It's like, oh. Anything else you want to speak to that?
Gave you a good one.
Okay.
Right. The zipper. How about you guys?
Where were you, Lola, when I needed you and the zipper technique? Because I tell you what, it was really disheartening because I would feel so good. And it would bring a sense of peace and calm. And then nanoseconds, open mm-hmm. the door.
I know.
Gone. And I just would be like,
But you also need to learn coping skills for dealing with that environment. It's not just the chakras.
And it's also good boundaries too, because, you know, the thing is, you learn to allow certain energies into you and not to allow certain energies. And also, if those energies do come to you and start bothering you, it's one thing that I do is I always ask, like, is this my energy or is this somebody else's energy? And a lot of the times when you go into the room, it's going to be somebody else's energy. So then you just focus on it and say, I would like to clear any energy that doesn't belong to me. I let it go. And just really focus and set the intention. And what you do is you do a shift of your energy so that way you get rid of energies that are not belonging to you. So that way you can have your own energy. And those are things you can do for yourself, as well as a lot of the times, being in a blissful state is great, but I mean, realistically, you can't always live in a blissful state. So another way to balance yourself is grounding. So grounding works really great, especially around this time where we have crazy energy just flowing all the time. A good reminder of just grounding yourself when you're feeling too stimulated or too poured with energy, those are all good tricks to kind of use that I've noticed they work for me.
Yeah, this is helping me to go back to, you know, some, I think 7 years ago when I was first starting and learning about this. And like I said, I wouldn't have been able to tune in, but I was mainly looking for relief. So my body was the one that was showing me the way. So I was really sick, you know, having different health issues and whatnot. And I think one of the things, this is what I heard to share, that when you're going on the spiritual journey, it can be really frightening because, you know, a lot of your life is going to have to completely turn upside down. You're going to have to leave, you know, the home that you're in. You don't know what your future looks like because, you know, finances is not going to be affected because that situation, that support is going to change. You might have to leave a job. Like, there can be real resistance on the spiritual path of going because you need to change almost everything that you know and turn it upside down. And it's almost, I'm seeing a snow globe and shaking it, you know, and letting all that snow flow around. Is that it's such a interesting process. I choose that word just because it's so many things, hard, challenging, rewarding. It's like this myriad of all these emotions. But when you're first starting and thinking, okay, oh, it's my environment, it's the people that I've surrounded myself with, it's the job I've chosen, which are all ultimately for my own good. They were all, you know, I don't regret any of it. But, you know, to see that I was going to have to change and make some very hard decisions in order to feel better because I couldn't keep just leaving and having these fixes and then also trying to anchor this energy so hard, trying so hard to ground and use the techniques like you would say, you know, can I have more love? Can I have more compassion for this situation? So it helps you to wake up to what's going kind of on around you and see what's really going on and how this is ultimately waking you up to step you into, you know, you're here to do some things, some work, some gifts, some talents. There's a purpose for it. And, you know, for me, it was to use the experiences that I went through in order to help me to help others. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know that at the time and probably would have overwhelmed me to know that because I felt so ill-equipped to be able to help and serve others when I felt like I was such a mess.
Well, and I think that one thing that going back, like when I first started and stuff, we get so raised in an environment where instead of like going within, everything's outside. So we create mm-hmm. these attachments to your life. Like you create the attachments to, oh, this is like, I have a job. I'm supposed to have this job no matter what, because it's my stability. But in reality, if that job is creating chaos in your life, that's no longer your stability. That's like the medicine for disaster. And what about like all of a sudden you have this attachment? It's like, hey, well, I have this person that has been my friend my entire life. How can I just like walk out, like no longer have them in my life? Well, this person is no longer bringing anything positive into your life. So instead it's bringing things that are negative, or they have chosen themselves to stay at a place where you can no longer stay. And how it takes us back to like really balancing our chakra points and stuff, that's all part of the work we need to do. Our attachments to what we called our everyday life really take a toll when you go on your spiritual journey, because you're going to find it that you're going to have to detach from everything you thought was safe and venture out into what you felt is unsafe. It's now the only way because it's almost like fresh air and you can't breathe in an environment where you feel like you're just being choked up. And these emotions are kind of signal points. And yes, at times these emotions also are going to lead you to those chakra points where you're really feeling it, because part of living a human experience is going through those emotions. But those emotions do have a connection with some part of us. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, look at it as a map. Look at your emotions as, where do I need to work? What is being processed? And then be kind to yourself. I lived a life where I was my own enemy. I didn't need any enemies. I was like my own worst judge, I was so hard on myself. And this isn't, we realize that could be a pattern within you. We realize this could be a place where you need to work personally at, but nonetheless, it's part of your growth and part of your balancing is just being able to see every aspect of you, being able to see the aspects that you're no longer resonating with and being able to let go of that and move on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, while you were talking, I was trying to think of, well, what can you do about it? Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we've overlooked that's so obvious is frequency music.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I didn't even think about it.
I know. So you can go to YouTube and there's specific frequencies that work on each chakra, or there's frequencies that work on all of them for mm-hmm. balancing and harmonizing. So sound, it's one of the best tools. And then the other thing I realized while you were talking, and I was thinking, well, how can you help yourself in those situations? Chakra specifically would be mudras. Mudras are Eastern. Well, we think of them as Eastern Indian, but you know, that basic region, they found out there's certain points on your fingers where you touch and affects other parts of your body. So they can be used for physical healing, but also for balancing your chakras. MUDRAS. You can go online and look at what some of the chakra points would correlate to for hand positions. And you could also go to YouTube, and I'm sure as well. And they do work. They do shift the energy in your body. You feel it chemically. So those are two things I thought of while you guys were kind of discussing some of the reasons you might want to mm-hmm. work on your chakras.
Also, what's really interesting is that I found, like, first when the word mudras came around and it was like about like holding it, I'm like, that's so weird. Like, how can you just hold like ends of fingers and like, they're supposed to do this or they're supposed to do that? And then what's interesting is I started observing about public speaking and people that like talk to big crowds and how they start doing mudras. And I like started, my favorite mudra to do is where you just hold your five fingers, because what this does, like the tips of your five fingers, what it does, it balances both parts of your brain so that way you're more receptive. And it also connects you to your whole being so that way when you're speaking, you're also speaking your truth as well as you're allowing the flow to just come in.
Yeah. And then the simple one we've all seen is your hands in prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's balancing both sides of your body, right?
Right.
And all of your energies, your masculine, your feminine. So there's a reason mm-hmm. why traditionally people do that.
So, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm going to interrupt
you. Might have an answer. See, I'm praying. I have the answer.
I saw you praying, so I thought, I'm just kind of curious as, and you too, Emma, when you first started, where were you the most susceptible? I was thinking about this. Like, my heart to me felt like the strongest. And so it was my lower chakras. It felt easier to have the spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could, even though there was a lot of things I was keeping down, I still could articulate thoughts and things. I've always been able to have that communication skill pretty well. And so the upper areas, I was okay. But I was so unaware as to how out of balance and I was in the lowers. Mm-hmm. So just curious as to you, what you, both of you felt like in this.
Well, I think I was like you, because I could feel the crown chakra open. Do you ever get that feeling on the top of your head? It feels like sprinkles,
mm-hmm.
like water's being sprinkled on the top of your head. So that's when you're getting downloads. That's the crown chakra being open.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's tingly. Mm-hmm. So I think I was doing really well with that. But because I was new and naive, I thought that's what you were supposed to work on. So I really did ignore the basic body functions. I ignored the root and I ignored the sacral for sure. I think I kind of worked on solar plexus, but I didn't see the point of working on the lower ones. Mm. I'm on a spiritual journey. I'm on a spiritual path. But that's what you brought up earlier in the broadcast. Mm-hmm. I fell victim to that way, that mentality as well.
Okay. That's curious. That's what I was thinking, you know, is it's also an easier path. Like if you have, let's just say for lack of a better, stronger psychic gifts, and there's a lane that you can go and things feel easier, it's easier to go up and connect. It's easier to leave the body and go up here and, mm-hmm. and hang out in space. Mm-hmm. You know, I call it this upper space that's above you and connect to what's above. Harder, you know, especially if you had a harder time being in the body or had trauma, or different types of physical traumas or whatever, you learn to not be in the body as much, and you're, you know, that can be a harder thing. So, Amra, what about you?
So this is really funny because as soon as you said it, of course, being like finding humor and everything, it's like that she's like asking like, okay, Superman, what's your weakness? So kryptonite it is. So the way I see the chakra points, it's almost like you have your lightness being your seventh chakra, and then it goes down and it gets denseness and more denseness. That's the way I feel it. Nobody has to agree with me. That's just the way if you see it. But I was a mess. But I'm happy to say I was a mess because thanks to that, I was able to really go deep and really heal myself. So I had huge issues with fear. When you grow up in a place where your opinion never matter, and you were always following directions, you didn't understand why necessarily, but they were always telling you what to do. You create this fear that doesn't necessarily mean it exists. You just fear the world because you've been so sheltered your whole entire life. You've been so programmed to believe that these people around you, this close circle, is supposed to tell you how to live your life. So anything outside of that creates fear. So I had that. Then I had guilt if I ever did anything that broke out of that, because I was so programmed that it gave me the biggest guilt to just even think of doing anything that was outside of that box. And then I was shamed whenever I did do anything that was trying to look for things for myself. Because, for example, with me, one of the biggest things is I always did things for others and I never did things for myself. So I was always shamed. And what's really ridiculous about that is now I understand everybody would be like shaming me for picking myself. But yet it's like, how dare you not pick me? So it's like really ridiculous. But
you know, just I was thinking back, I just had a flashback to one of our earlier sessions, and you also grew up where there was warring.
Yeah.
Like there was some tragedies going on in the society where you were raised before you came to America.
Yeah.
So, you know, really that makes a lot of sense, is when, you know, kids that very early on have seen violence based on what's going on around them in their world. You know, that would be a good place to start, especially if you're a parent or somebody working with children that have had certain lived experiences. Those could be some areas where, you know, feeling safe is paramount before you can calm the nervous system.
Okay. So I'm going to circle back to the beginning of what we talked about, right?
Yeah.
You talked about, I am for the root chakra. I feel, I do. Why are we not talking about declarative statements?
Yes, affirmations.
Yes, let's do that.
So if you were in your root chakra, you would say, I am. What would you declare to say, tell your root chakra, I am safe.
Right.
I am secure. I am confident.
Mm-hmm.
I am capable. Those kind of things. So then we go to the sacral, which is the creativity and the sexuality area, and it's I feel. I think I create for that era personally, but I feel strong. I feel confident.
I feel creative.
Comfortable with my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the sacral, you said it would be I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do good work.
Right.
I do stand in my power.
Yes. And then the heart is I love. Mm-hmm. I love myself.
Yep.
I love humanity. Yes. Right? I love pizza. Even with pineapple.
Another episode.
All right. Maybe that was a little flip. Yeah. Okay. I speak for the throat chakra. Mm. I speak my truth. I speak clearly. I speak eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I speak my desires.
Ooh, that's good. And then the third eye would be I see. Mm. I see my potential.
Yes.
I see myself thriving.
Nice.
I love that one.
Okay. And then the crown would be I know. I know I am loved.
Mm. I know I'm always supported.
Ooh, those are great. Yes, declarative affirmations. How powerful are those?
Why did we overlook that till the end?
I know. Because you were meant to find it for us, Lola.
Meant to lead us.
It's the round spiral going round and round, and here we come to it, you know. Yes. This. And it's good because it's kind of wrapping things
and
up.
Can you imagine if you combine that with a mudra?
Right.
Yes.
Like you're focusing on your sacral chakra and you're doing a mudra for that chakra.
Yep.
And you're saying I feel or I create. Oh my
god.
And gosh.
You're using your frequency music from
and
that
the
chakra.
Music on top of it. And you're wearing orange.
Yes. Imagine the power in that. But I do have to, like, I want to speak on something that was really interesting that I feel like I needed some clarity on this, and it was really important for me to get this clarity. So, you know, we live in a time of social media. And I did like this post of affirmations depending on your chakras, and they like use all these words and they were really good. And I thought these are really good. So I felt strongly to share them. And immediately someone got in there and said, well, your strongest one is your I am. And what's really interesting is that technically your I am presence is the strongest when all your chakras are balanced. But what happens when you're unbalanced in one and you're trying to claim your I am presence, it's not truly your I am presence because there's something holding you back from fully stepping in your I am presence. So all I'm trying to clear and all I'm trying to say, yes, your I am presence is very strong. However, if the rest of your chakras are unbalanced, then you can't really stand on your true I am presence.
Because they all work together.
Exactly. And what we're going for is balance. So balance means flow with all of them, yes. All of your chakras.
Energy, the energy is moving, the energy is flowing, it's balanced, they're all spinning. And you feel really good. You feel charged, mm-hmm. but also like just, I think it's like a assurance.
And I think that sometimes we have to just find ways to look at things differently. Like, for example, when you're feeling an emotion, don't shove it down. Try to hear it. Try to ask it, what is making me feel like this? And then go back into that chakra point of whatever the emotion might be. But really honor that part, because all it's trying to do is really surface up so that it can be healed.
Yeah, it's that clue to follow, mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah, but if you don't know what area it is, I would still recommend just working on each chakra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until you get more comfortable with how certain areas feel corresponding to your body.
Yeah. I love it when you get to the answer. You're blocked. You're not sure what's going on. You're trying to find the emotion. Sometimes it would take me a while to get to, but then when I find it, I'm like, ah, thank you. Bringing that into the light, but I know what's going on. And then you're like, oh, and that makes sense based on, you know, what I've been through, giving yourself grace and love and all of those things. Because when we anchor that within our bodies, we can emanate and radiate that out to the world. And that's what we're here to do. That's part of our goal of the podcast, is to help you and help the collective. And, you know, go ahead, Emerald.
I just want to really bring out something that's really important. I totally forgot. So, as we're working on ourselves, that barking chihuahua ego will always start acting up when you're trying to better yourself. So be aware of that, because it's a sneaky little thing that just sneaks up. So as you start working on your chakra points, there will be times where you're just going to get those really big, huge triggers. Be at peace. That's your ego. It's barking because when you're moving from your everyday normal state and you're improving yourself, it will come up. And I just want to mention that because that way you're not surprised by it.
Okay, good tip.
Good one.
Another good tip is to look for the chakra colors online. There's lots of diagrams. There's also diagrams there that show you the what to say, you know, the I am, I feel, I speak, I know, I love. Mm-hmm. You guys can do this. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us.
We'll check in with you in another week with another hot topic that hopefully...
Don't forget to rate us.
Oh, please, yes. Please review us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.